Chapter 6. In the dreaming, Jared stretched his legs, paws flying down the field in pursuit of his larger brothers, the long grass flashing by rapidly. It tickled his underbelly, whipping up against his fur as he breathed deeply, the autumn air cooling and spicy with the scent of decaying leaves. Back behind them, their house smelled like Thanksgiving. All cinnamon and nutmeg and pumpkin pie, the turkey roasting and their mother's harried voice barking anxious commands for someone to set the table. But out here was freedom.
Wait!
Jared laughed, flinging his body as fast as it could go, barreling forward fast enough that he felt out of control, like he was going to tumble and crash faster and faster. But his brothers were larger, faster, and their voices were growing more distant. He could still hear them laughing with each other, further ahead, but it was hard to see them now, just the occasional glimpse of fur through the grass, and fear was setting in, Jared's joy leeching away to worry.
"Wait!"
he called again, no laughter this time, but he didn't know if they could even hear him. He ran faster, down into the wood, and he didn't know where the house was anymore, couldn't smell the cinnamon or the nutmeg, just the cold scent of the woods, angry and alone. Jared was panting, dodging through trees and pushing himself faster and faster, eyes wide as the forest got darker, thin branches reaching out to scrape over his coat, trying to drag him in like clawed hands.
"Brandon!" he yelled, strangled with panic. "Daniel!"
It was getting darker. No matter how wide he stretched his eyes, the light seemed to be dimming, until he couldn't see anymore, and he knew he was lost. Lost and alone, and home was somewhere else, somewhere where dinner was being served, where no one even knew he was missing, and he ran, heedless. He ran until the world turned black. Sight and sound vanishing into darkness, a forest he could never seem to find his way out of. His heart beat frantically, the fear a palpable thing, crawling through his bones, and he screamed,
"Brandon!"
Jared woke up with a jerk, breathing hard. For a second, the world spun and his claws clenched into wood, steadying himself as he tried to breathe through it. Get his bearings.
"You're all right," a voice said, soothing.
Hands came down to rest on his neck.
"Hey, it's okay."
"Get off of me!"
Jared screamed with a loud yowl, lashing out with claws, and he heard whoever was behind him scramble back. He almost tipped over, the sudden movement of striking out making everything shift and tilt dizzily. He had to shut his eyes, shut them tight as he breathed. Heart beat a rapid thump in his veins. Long minutes passed, and thankfully no one else came over to him. No one touched him or spoke. When he felt like he could breathe again, like the ground wasn't moving under him, he blinked slowly. He found himself looking down at wood grain, boards cut unevenly from a trunk, hammered together to create a floor. He traced his eyes along the floor until he found a wall, and looking around, he realized he was inside a room. He hadn't been inside anything besides his tent in almost 2 years, and for a second he wondered if he'd dreamed all of that. But this wasn't his childhood home, nor any house that he recognized. The wood was dark, and there was a gas lamp sitting on a table. There was a roughly hewn door over on one wall, a large gap beneath it, and Jared could see daylight poking in. The walls were also wood, rounded trunks or branches pressed together, bound and sealed with dark pitch. There were no windows, but the cabin seemed to have electricity. An overhead light was on, illuminating the room. Jared's vision finally flicked to the figure of a human standing over in a corner, leaning against a wall, his arms crossed over his chest. Jared could see 4 thin marks of blood on the man's forearm from Jared's attack. They didn't look deep, but Jared winced anyways, never liking the act of harming someone. As for the man himself, he was dressed in plain slacks and a vest with no shirt, arms muscled and smeared with a few streaks of dirt. His hair was a dark auburn, and his eyes... Jared remembered those eyes, large and blue, and taking over his vision until everything faded out and went black. Tristan. Jared scrambled to his feet. Tristan, he demanded, then shifted back to his human form, crouched to obscure his nudity, but body tense, thrumming with worry. Where's Tristan? Tristan? The man asked, blinking curiously. He didn't look mad, despite the scratches on his arm. He blinked again, then a look of realization came over him. Oh, the cub. He's fine. You were unconscious for a while, so we took him to another litter. There is another mother looking after him. Jared didn't relax, but he felt, at least, his panic wane. He didn't know if he could believe this guy, but he didn't want to think that anything bad had happened to the little one that had been in his charge. Can I see him? The man pushed himself off the wall, lifting both hands, palm out, in a placating manner. Hold up there, he said, taking a step forward. He paused, looking around, then reached out to grab a folded blanket, tossing it over to Jared. Jared snatched it out of the air and stood up, wrapping the cloth around himself. The man continued, Let's just... Look, I have some questions for you. Besides, right now, you need to rest before you can look after anyone else. I need to know he's safe. All right, that's fair. I can take you to him, okay? But once you check in on him, we're going to have to talk. You get that, right? Yeah, I... Who are you? My name is Misha. I'm captain of the Betas. Our Alpha has charged me with your care. Jared didn't know exactly what all that meant, but he nodded anyways. If nothing else, he didn't read any threat from this guy. He seemed to be friendly enough, and Jared was desperate enough to make sure his cub was all right, that he would have been willing to go along even if Misha hadn't been friendly. Jared cinched the blanket around his waist, nodding to the other werecat, letting Misha lead him out the door. Outside the cabin it was midday, and the sun was bright over the mountainside, making Jared blink and wince as he stepped out into it. When his eyes had begun to adjust, he glanced around the area he only vaguely remembered from before. It was the same hill, littered with cabins, bare rock and sparse trees, brighter now in the daylight. Jared could hear the river not too far below them, hidden by the forest, but the louder sounds were that of life. And if Jared had been better able to contain his emotions, he would have just stared. As it was, his jaw dropped a little. All around them were werecats, some in human form, others cat, some older, some children, some cubs, some sweeping off front porches, and others running around chasing one another. He heard a child laughing and turned to see a girl in human form, no more than 8, playing with a set of cubs, a yearling cub growling in mock aggression, the two of them rolling around on the forest floor. There was a patter of paws and a group of older kids ran past, the same strange mixture of forms. One of the ones in human form yelled and waved to Misha as he went by, only to get shoved by the person behind him. Oh my God, Jared managed after a moment. You all right? Misha asked. Yeah, I've just never seen so many werecats before. Misha frowned a little, but whatever he was thinking, he didn't give it away. He shrugged slightly and said, Yeah, I suppose we're a pretty large pride. He gestured towards Jared. Come on, follow me. Jared started, shifting awkwardly on the small porch of the cabin. I mean, my clothes. It's fine, Misha said, shaking his head, then seemed to realize Jared's discomfort.
Trust me, no one minds.
He pointed up the hill, and Jared could see a few naked individuals in amongst the cats, laying all together, sunning themselves on the rocks.
Oh, all right. If we can, you know, get me some pants, though, at some point?
Jared tried for a weak smile. Misha returned it, all teeth and gums, something almost like carefree. It had been a long time since Jared had seen something like that. Misha led him around the cabin and into a shaded area where there were a few trees. As they passed a few cabins, Jared felt the eyes of the pride on him, people stopping their daily activities to whisper or stare, and he flushed a little, self-conscious.
"We don't get many visitors," Misha explained a little sheepishly.
"Yeah, I'd imagine. It had been hard enough just to find them, after all." They stopped in front of the cabin pressed back into a rise in the rock, the sun playing in dappled patterns across the floor of crisscrossed pine needles, shifting with the gentle breeze. It was a beautiful day, not too hot and not too cold, and Jared might have had more appreciation for that if he'd felt like he could think in a straight line. He was still out of it, twisted up and worried, disoriented from his sleep and the hunger still there, but all distant to the need to see Tristan to make sure the cub was all right, that he hadn't been hurt when Jared collapsed, that no one had hurt him. In front of the cabin was an adult cat stretched out in a patch of sunlight, blinking lazily as she watched a group of kittens prancing about, letting out little warks of vigorous play, pouncing on each other and growling, rolling around in the leaves. It was hard to count them, every little body in motion and moving around, confusing him, but Jared thought there were five altogether, and they were all Tristan's age.
"Julie," Misha said, warmth in his voice, and Jared saw the lounging cat lift its head. A second later it shifted, changing into a red-headed woman, her body blending from one form to another like someone had spilled a bucket of water over her, washing her fur away. She rose to her feet, and Jared flushed and looked away from her bare skin. She didn't notice, just smiling and stepping forward to lean up, pressing her lips against Misha's.
"Is this our visitor?" she asked, looking at Jared.
"This is him. He wanted to check on his cub."
Jared took that as his cue, eyes darting over the youngsters while still trying to keep his eyes away from Julie's unabashed nakedness. With Misha there, some of the cubs had broken off from their play, trotting over to sniff at his feet or gnaw on his pant legs. One of the cubs was creeping over to Misha curiously, and Jared picked him out almost immediately, recognizing the pattern of light dappled spots running over the cub's back.
"Tristan," he said on a long breath of warm relief, kneeling down, the blanket stretching around his waist.
He extended his arms, holding his hands out, and the cub turned, glancing back at him. He blinked his big teal eyes, then seemed to recognize Jared, letting out a trill and turning around to jog over to him, letting Jared scoop him up, holding the cub close against his chest. He kissed the downy fur.
"Glad you're all right, little buddy,"
he murmured and felt the worry clogging up his chest crack and relent, sweeping away in the warm rush of relief when he felt the small body begin to rumble with a purr. For a few minutes he just stood there like that, and the others left him alone. He shut his eyes against the world, trying to take some peace, but he felt himself begin to shake as that worry dislodged, broke, and gave way to his hunger, his exhaustion, the ragged edges of a body pushed through too much, and he hadn't realized just how wiped he was until he had Tristan in his arms, until he knew that the kitten was safe, and that he could look after himself. He blinked his eyes open in surprise when he felt hands against his own, reaching out and carefully taking Tristan from him, who was already beginning to wiggle, eager to return to his play. Jared saw Misha smile as he took the kitten,
carefully setting him down, and Tristan immediately galloped off, running over to bowl into the other litter.
"Come, you should sit, rest," Misha said, his voice artificially soft.
But Jared didn't have the energy to object to the placation. Instead, he just let Misha guide him into the cabin, watching Misha flick the light on as they entered, feeling the steady hands move him over to a rocking chair. Jared sat down heavily, suddenly uncertain that his legs would have held him up much longer.
"God, I'm tired."
"I'm not surprised," Misha replied, voice gentle.
"You look thin. Where's your mate? You've worn yourself to the bone looking after that cub."
Jared felt Misha's hand slide under his chin, tilting it up, the grasp gentle, kind. And Jared was a little ashamed to admit that, after 2 years of isolation, he almost whimpered and leaned in. Instead, his sense of propriety kept him from making a fool of himself, and he shoved the other man away, not liking how casually his personal space was invaded.
"Stop that! Why do you—"
He pursed his lips, then glanced out the open cabin door.
"Isn't that your wife out there?"
"Wife?" Misha quirked his head. "She's my mate."
"Then why do you keep touching me?"
You think I was—"
Misha shook his head, looking a little shocked. He held up both his hands in the "I'm innocent" gesture.
"I'm sorry if you misunderstood. In our pride, we—" "You are a fertile. We care for fertiles. They are—"
He nodded his head back and forth, obviously thinking over the words.
"Sacred to us. It is normal for us to touch and care for them. I didn't mean to imply anything. It's the same as I would do for any fertile."
Jared flushed a little. He'd never been referred to as a fertile before, but it didn't take a genius to figure out what that meant. Christ, they could tell? Could they smell it on him? He swallowed dryly, feeling a little sick, and if he had the energy to even stand, he might have just run away. It was his modus operandi.
"Yeah,"
Jared muttered, sullen. He turned his face away.
"Anyways, I'm going to get you food. If you feel up to it, I need some explanation from you to take to the Alpha, but after that, you can rest. You look like you need it."
Jared just grunted, not watching as Misha headed toward the back of the cabin. He returned a few seconds later with a plate, bearing what looked like beef jerky and dried fish, a few leafy greens on the side. 2 years and an addiction to junk food ago, Jared would have turned his nose up at the fare, but after surviving only on what he could catch or find for the last few seasons, which included some fairly slimy bugs, and a few weeks of near starvation under his belt, he found himself tucking into it with enthusiasm. Misha seemed to be patient enough, pulling up a chair and sitting on the edge of it, resting his elbows on his spread knees, waiting for Jared to finish before talking. He felt like he'd never tasted anything so good before. The meat and fish were salty, sharp on his tongue, and God, he'd missed salt. He hadn't had any in so long, and he found himself tearing off bite after bite, chewing fast, as if the food was planning to run away. He stuffed his mouth full with the next bite before he'd even finished the first, until his cheeks bulged, and some part of him was glad a knife and a fork hadn't been provided. He didn't have the patience for anything other than shoveling the food in with his hands. The greens were reedy and crisp, having that homegrown flavor to them, and he actually found himself moaning a little. When he finished, Misha indulgently offered him a hunk of bread, which Jared managed to eat with a little more dignity, the edge of his hunger dulled. The other man rose, walking to the back of the cabin and returning with what looked like a hand-blown glass full of water with only some sediment floating in it.
"Thanks," Jared managed to get out, taking the glass.
"We'll start with the easy stuff," Misha started, once Jared had set his plate aside. He was still kind of hungry, but he recognized that if he ate too much, he'd just end up throwing it all back up later.
"What's your name?"
"Jared Padalecki," he answered, feeling no reason to lie at this point. Thus far, he'd been treated more than reasonably.
"Okay. What pride do you come from?"
"I've never had a pride," Jared replied with a shrug, but it didn't seem that trivial to Misha, who gaped a little.
"I was raised by humans. Me and my brothers."
"By humans?" Misha asked, shaking his head.
"Why? What happened?"
His expression of horror was more than Jared could deal with. He looked to the side.
"Is that important?"
"No, I suppose not." Misha seemed to settle himself, knitting his fingers together, though his expression still spoke of concern and curiosity.
"Why did you come here? Where is your mate?"
"I don't have a mate. I've been living down the river, by myself." Misha's brow creased, and Jared kept speaking, not wanting the other cat to interject, to make it even more obvious how strange and horrifying and different Jared was.
"2 months ago, a picnic basket washed up near my camp. I found... there were dead kittens in there. 5 dead ones and 1 still alive. Tristan. I've been looking after him since then. I assumed he came from your pride."
"Our first birthing season was 2 months ago. The timing would fit, but I can't imagine what allure would do such a thing. Send their little ones away."
He shook his head, and then noticed a cub standing in the doorway. It wasn't Tristan, a little bit too big, and his coat lighter in shade, part of the litter that Jared could only assume was Misha's. The other werecat leaned down, extending his hand to the kitten, and it trotted over. Misha picked it up, holding it against his vest like a baby. Jared watched the cub wriggle and settle down, watched the gentle way Misha teased it, tickling its belly and letting it bat his hand with its paw.
"Well, it came from upriver, and you guys are the only werecat pride I know of. Once I was sure Tristan was old enough to travel, I brought him back."
That was a bit of a lie. He'd waited longer. They probably could have made the trip 3 weeks ago, once Tristan had stabilized and put on some weight.
"We thank you for your kindness, then."
Misha looked up from the cub over at Jared.
"I will have to talk to the Alpha about this. If what you say is true, doing something like that to a litter of kittens, it's very serious."
"Yeah, I..." Jared looked away, looked at the open door to where Julie was now nursing her kittens. Tristan lumped in with them. This wasn't the violent animalistic society he had expected. He'd expected to see cats fighting, to see them huddled together for shelter under tree branches. He'd expected them to rip into him as soon as look at him, and this place was nothing like that, nothing like he'd been taught in school. There were homes with beds here, mothers with their children, calm spots of shade to nap in and warm rocks to sun on, plenty of food and family, safety. Tristan would be loved here, accepted. Something awful had happened, Jared was sure, to bring Tristan to him in the manner he had been. But whatever it was that had caused someone to abandon their children, it was clearly an anomaly.
"I'm glad."
Misha smiled warmly, then glanced down at his child, who was letting out little squeaks and whines as it noticed that it was feeding time outside. Misha leaned down, setting the cub on the floor, watching as it immediately ran outside. He stood up, crossing his arms loosely over his middle.
"Rest up. You're welcome here. We will have a bed set up for you."
"That's really not necessary," Jared objected, sitting up straighter. "I just came here to drop Tristan off. Then I planned to head back."
Alone? Misha frowned, clearly unsettled.
Please, rest. You've done our pride a great service caring for a child of ours. We could not, in good conscience, send you back as you are. You have burned your own body to care for the little one. Let us care for you.
Jared looked uncomfortable, uncertain of staying here, of getting too comfortable, of seeing Tristan every day still, and knowing he had to give him up. At least if he left now, it would be a clean cut.
Look, Misha tried again, voice firmer. If nothing else, our Alpha will need to talk to you to find out what happened and figure this out.
And besides, we didn't know another Allure was living so close to our pride. We don't want to intrude upon your life, but we would at least like to know of you.
Allure, Jared repeated, remembering the word from earlier.
What is that?
Misha looked surprised.
It's... He softened, expression going sad and far away.
You really don't know anything about yourself, do you?
He pursed his lips briefly and shook his head. He smiled, too full of sweet pity and kindness, and Jared almost looked away.
You are an Allurenthrope. It was the word given to us by the Romans a long time ago. It is a word for our people.
He let out a sigh, and Jared saw the other man reach a hand out, about to touch the top of Jared's head, when he seemed to remember the whole personal space issue and drew his hand back.
Stay, please. Let yourself recover while we find out what happened to Tristan and his littermates. I promise you, no harm will come to you.
Jared hesitated, still uncertain about the situation, but he could already feel himself giving in. A warm bed, plentiful food, and someone to talk to besides himself. He knew that going back to his campsite wasn't going to get easier with time, only harder. But he still wanted this, even if it would only hurt more when he eventually had to go.
All right, he agreed finally. I'll stay until you can work out what happened.
It was a flimsy excuse, but Misha seemed inclined to let him have the comfort of the illusion. The other werecat, Allure, just smiled, warm and welcoming, and nodded. Jared pulled his blanket in around himself, leaning on whatever he could to rationalize his decision. He watched Misha walk out of the cabin, leaving the door open and the warm summer breeze flowing in. Jared's eyes drifted shut, hearing the muffled growls and calls of the kittens. After a moment, the low murmur of a voice, Misha talking to his mate, and the words were lost to him, but not the tone. Gentle, loving, words of affection. Already, despite hours of unconsciousness, he could feel the desire to sleep, to rest. Weeks of running himself ragged crept in around the edges, and he couldn't hold out against the lulling whispers. Promises of peace, of safety, of the burden being carried by someone else for a little bit.
Allure, he thought hazily, the sounds and scents of the world blending in together, and everything else beginning to fade away. I am an Allure.